The twisted warlock glanced over his shoulder. A large black bird glided down toward him. His mother, he knew, but whatever comfort he might take in that powerful reinforcement was quickly lost. For the Drider had allies as well, a group of dark elves standing in concentric circles, centered by one who served as the hub of a peculiar spider's web of blue-sparking electrical energy. "Fly away," the young warlock yelled to his mother, just as she came down beside him, and just as the drow flung the lightning web, spinning, turning, and sparkling. Dahlia came back to her elf form. The lightning net fell over the mother and son. Efren melted away. Amber finally found her footing. She shook her head to clear the dizziness and met the Drider's next swing with Skull Crusher, mace and cudgel connecting with teeth-shattering force. The dwarf was more than ready to play that game, though, even against this larger opponent. She began to mouth the words to a spell, to fill her muscles with the strength of Clangadin, but then came the explosions, the flashes, the trembling ground, violently shaking as the lightning net landed over Dahlia, who stood just a few strides from Ambergris. The dwarf staggered, but the Drider, so balanced on 8 spidery legs, did not. Cudgel and mace met again with crushing force. The shock wave of magical thunder continued. The ground rolled. Ambergris was on her back then, her spell driven from her lips, her mace flown from her hand, the Drider standing over her. The Drider's heavy cudgel descended. The first exchanges seemed more a dance than a battle, with Entreri and Tiago circling, each offering weak thrusts that were easily blocked or parried. "Where is he?" Tiago asked, and he turned back to his right, putting the now-burning stonecutter Solace behind him. Entreri moved fast to intercept, seeing that the drow was creating an open line for the fallen monk. "Any time you wish to join in would be welcomed," Entreri said to his companion. Afafrenfir groaned and managed to stand, but barely, for one leg would not hold his weight, and the side of his robe was soaked in blood. A quick glance at the man had Entreri realizing that he had been foolish indeed to leap down from the rooftop to come to Afafrenfir's aid. This one, he believed, wasn't about to survive the wounds he already bore. The assassin went at Tiago in his frustration, sword leading in and up, and he spun behind it in a sudden reverse to send his dagger thrusting forward. But Tiago not only met the sword with his own wondrous blade and got his shield in line with the dagger, he did so while resetting his feet. Before Entreri had even completed the maneuver, Tiago came forward in a rush, his shield sweeping out before him, but turned then so that its edge could cut across to take Entreri out at the legs. Entreri barely retreated in time, and Tiago continued forward, sword chopping, shield cutting back the other way, then back again, with a sword quickly following in a dizzying display. The assassin had nearly been caught off his guard with the sheer ferocity, balance, and coordination of the attack. This was a Beenri noble, he reminded himself, and he knew well what that likely meant. Entreri would be at his best here, or he would surely be dead. He matched Tiago's assault with a fast riposte, then drove forward with 3 sudden thrusts, each forcing the drow farther from Afafrenfir and more to the middle of the lane. "Monk!" Entreri called, and he winced as dark elves began to arrive, coming from the windows and door and floating down from the higher windows of the burning building. "Run!" In response, Afafrenfir took a step, nearly tumbling as his weight came upon his broken leg. He grimaced and fought through it, though, stumbling along for another few steps. A globe of darkness engulfed him. A hail of javelins swarmed into the globe. There came a grunt and the thud of the man falling to the ground, and Entreri noted his hand protruding from the edge of the darkness, fingers trembling and moving as if they were trying to grasp at life itself. Then stillness. So it was over, Entreri realized. His gallant idiocy sure to leave them both dead on the street. He managed a glance behind him, down the lane toward the lower city, and caught sight of Dahlia in crow form touching down beside Efren, and Amber battling a horrid drider off to the side, and a spinning web of lightning descending right behind Dahlia. The flashes and reverberations of that lightning net shook the ground all around this section of Port Last. People were running, scrambling, tumbling as the ground moved under their feet. And Trary held his balance, and even used the tremor to go at Tiago once more, hoping to at least take this miserable drow noble down before the other dark elves overwhelmed him. But Tiago, with equal balance, was ready for the charge, and Entreri's slashing sword met a spiraling, widening shield, a magical shield expanding right before Entreri's eyes. Tiago dared to roll around, even putting his back to Entreri for a brief instant. His back! Entreri saw the opening. His opponent had underestimated him. He went for the target, or tried to, but found to his horror that his sword was stuck fast to Tiago's shield, as surely as if he had slashed it into the side of a thick spider web. Tiago came around, turning that shield, tugging hard and nearly taking the sword from Entreri's hand. Only the assassin's great speed and balance allowed him to twist and turn enough to hold on desperately as the drow's sword stabbed for him. Only a last-instant parry by his jewel dagger turned that blade from his face, and only enough so that blade still nicked his ear as it passed. And Trary felt the sting of that hit and the added sting of drow poison. And then the ground rolled under him suddenly, like an ocean wave, and he and Tiago were lifted into the air, deafened by a thunderstroke and blinded by a flash so brilliant that it stole the night. Chapter 10. Every day, every experience, every thrill. "Carotelli," Penelope Harple said with great enthusiasm and a loud clap of her hands when the five companions, led by Catty Bree, were escorted into her audience chamber.
"Eh?"
Bruner asked. But Catty Bree was simply smiling in response at the affectionate nickname. One Catty Bree had earned in her initial meeting with Penelope a couple of years earlier. When asked her name in that first meeting, Catty Bree had nearly blurted the truth, then tried to change it with the name she had been given by her Bedeen parents, and finally had settled on her alias, that of poor Deli Curti. She moved swiftly across the room, catching Penelope, her mentor, in a great hug. "I told you I would return," she said. "To tell me the truth of..."